A green room door plate reads Joelle Nicole Johnson. Inside, Joelle watches video messages from various celebrity friends. Text, a Peacock original.
Joelle, I know you're getting ready, but I just want to wish you good luck on your special. But I also know that today is also your birthday. So happy birthday.
Hey, Joelle, it's me, Marie Bamford. Just giving me a message from what looks like the inside of a women's prison.
It's your Uncle George Wallace. Guess what? It's time for you to do your thing.
I am so excited for your first special.
You are amazing and talented and smart. One of the funniest women I know out there.
I remember when I first moved to America back in 2007, and you were a little fetus back then. Getting on stage with the umbilical cord still wrapped around your waist. And look how far you come. Now you're doing a freaking special.
When you came and did stand-up here, you rocked the house so much so that the house just left and never came back. Look.
Empty seats.
They're ready for you, and I know you're ready for them.
Do your thing, man. You know what to do.
You're gonna go kill it dead, honey. You got nailed to the cross.
You got this, buddy.
Hit them hard. Don't be scared of those waka blockers.
You're going to slay, mama, gag, sickening, yes, do it.
And there's no way it won't be wonderful. My hands are shaking. I'm a bag of bones and a hank of hair.
Get that hair big. Get them titties out.
Brown titty power in effect.
Knock him dead.
Love you. Have fun.
Mwah. Love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the birthday girl, Joelle Nicole Johnson!
A glittering title appears over Purple Hearts, Love Joy with Joelle Nicole Johnson. Joelle boogies onto an all-purple stage in shiny black pants and a metallic silver blazer. Her hair is neatly primped into a large afro. She swings her arms and wiggles her knees, making goofy, overjoyed faces.
Thank you guys for coming to my birthday party! Yes!
Thank you guys for supporting live comedy from the bottom of my heart. I'm gonna say that. Yes. There have been a bunch of sad clowns in the house for a year and a half, so that's not good for society. I moved from New York down to Georgia last summer to save the democracy. You're welcome, bitches. Oh, yeah. It was me. It's me and Stacey Abrams on a black female Mount Rushmore. You can't tell me nothing. I moved down to vote, but also, obviously, to get a gun because when in Rome. And by Rome, I mean Rome, Georgia. You register to vote there. Comes with a Smith & Wesson. I be strapped everywhere. It's the law down there. I be strapped in Whole Foods. That's a weird place to be strapped. You ever buy gluten-free bread with a Glock 9mm in your hand? Oh, yeah. I'm like, is this what having a penis feels like? Because I'm so confident.
She mimes holding a gun at her groin.
Yeah, I moved down there. It's so good to be down in Georgia. The South has made me hard. I'm a gun owner now. But it's also made me soft. I say good morning to people. I'm a Jersey girl. We don't do that above the Mason-Dixon. And I brought that back up to New York City. Oh, man. People say New Yorkers are tough. You want to scare a New Yorker? Smile, look them in the eyes, and say good morning. They will think you about to rob they ass. Only thing worse, somebody asked me for the time once. I said, I will mace you in your face. What time is it? Where is your cell phone? I miss traveling. The last place I went before everything went down was to Burlington, Vermont. Yeah. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. Just to sum it up, there were more Black Lives Matter signs than Black Lives. It's a weird place to be. I got off that flight. I said, is this north of the wall? What's happening right now? A lot of white walkers. I'm used to being the only black person somewhere, but on the flight to Vermont, I was the only young person. I thought it was the flight to heaven. Looking around like, there is a layover in Burlington, right? I'm getting off this plane. Why are y'all in the sky? You cutting out the middleman? They was old. They wasn't regular old. They sat me next to a 90-year-old white lady. Why do I know that? Because she told me. I didn't ask her a question, okay? I sat down. She said, I'm 90. I said, I'm black. I don't know what's happening right now.
Why are we stating our demographics? Is this the census? She's a chatty 90.
She minds shooting herself in the head.
Chatty 90? I thought she was trying to get all her words out before the end. I said, since we chatting, I ain't know you could fly that old. I didn't. Why are we showing ID at the airport if anybody can get on the plane? You're not allowed to fly a certain amount of pregnant, right? Yeah, that's on site. 90? That's the end of the third trimester of life. Why is she on the plane with me? I'm not a doctor, Delta, but death is crowning. I see it. She was telling me stuff I didn't ask, let me know she was going to visit her big sister. She turned me into an owl. I said, who is your big sister? I was so mad. You got a big sister? Black people die at 42. You got a big sister? Oh, white people just be living for no reason. Oh, my goodness. Stressing me out. Just talking and talking, telling me stuff I didn't ask. Here's the thing. She didn't know how to talk to a young black person because at one point, I'm not making this up, she started naming black people she could remember. That got awkward real quick because she 90. She don't know no new blacks. She was hitting me with throw blacks. At one point, she said, do you know Ella Fitzgerald? Ella Fitz. Girl, first of all, how dare you? Of course, I know who Ella Fitzgerald is. She said, Ella Fitzgerald and Nat King Cole are my favorite singers. I wanted to end that conversation. So I was like, what can I say to this white woman and make her not talk to me anymore? I got it. Since we're talking about favorites, you know Harriet Tubman? And Nat Turner, they're my favorite slaves. You don't want to talk anymore, do you? She said, no, Moses is my favorite slave. You know what? How you gonna outslave me? That is rude. Moses was a great slave. Yeah. I moved down to Georgia last year with a boyfriend, which I never thought would happen because I don't like to hear men speak. I'm heterosexual, but it's against my will. Yeah. The evangelicals lied to me, all right? They said it was a choice. I wish it was a choice. I would choose women right now. Yeah, I just don't have the tongue strength, but I'm working on it, all right? Yeah, I'm doing tongue and Kegel exercises every day. You know what I'm saying? I'm spelling out the alphabet like, ah. I'm switching teams on you hoes. We had a vice president that believed in conversion therapy. Yeah, had everybody all upset. I was on his side. Let's do this, Mike. Let's convert. Because both of us are being something we don't want to be. Like, let's do this conversion therapy because I understand the yin and yang in life. You convert one way, you got to convert the other way. I want to be converted to gay, okay? I want to be strapped to a chair by a bunch of bitches in Birkenstocks. Just holding up pictures of dicks, ringing a bell, and punching me in my face. Get this urge out of me. I'm willing to go Pavlovian for it. It's so natural. My boyfriend's a good guy. We got together March 1st of 2020. Yeah, I don't know. March 1st of 2020, after me being single for 17 years. Yes. Absolutely ridiculous. We dove right off the deep end. And it was beautiful. 3 months in, he looked me in my eyes. He said, Joyelle, I love you. I said, cool. We need a couples therapist. Stat. We do. Get you a couples therapist. I tell everybody, get you a couples therapist. It's like hiring a parent for your relationship. We get into arguments. I say, we don't got to talk about that right now because I'm telling Dad on Friday at 6 p.m.
People would judge me. It's like, why you need a couples therapist? You're only 3 months in. Oh, just one little reason. I'm in an interracial relationship during a pandemic race war. That's all, you know. Just the little things. Yeah, my boyfriend's half white, half Asian. Yeah. Two groups that love black people. I quizzed him. I ask him questions that I know the answer to, just to see if he knows the answer to them. I mostly like to ruin his white peace. He'd be minding his business, making a peanut butter jelly sandwich, just enjoying his life. I come into the kitchen, pop quiz, hot shot. Which side of your family would be more disappointed you dating a black woman? Without skipping a beat, he said the Asian side up top. You understand the ubiquity of colorism. I'm so proud of him in that moment. And I know that sounds harsh, but listen, it got proven to us, all right? February, it was Chinese New Year. We called his grandparents in Taiwan. Gong gong and poor poor. He FaceTimed them. They don't speak any English, so he was just mostly waving. I said, you want to meet Gong Gong and Paw Paw? Hell yeah, I want to meet Gong Gong and Paw Paw. Question is, do Gong Gong and Paw Paw want to meet me? He didn't preface them or anything, okay? I sat down in front of that camera. His poor grandmother couldn't even hold her face. She was just like...
Joyelle grimaces, scrunching her brow and plastering on a pained smile.
She looked like a Chrissy Teigen gif. I got mad at him. I was like, dude, are you kidding me right now? You just spring this on them? You can't surprise people like that. His grandfather is going to be 100 years old this year. You can't spring a Negro on people born before World War II. Are you kidding me right now? You trying to kill them? We are going to Taiwan this year for his grandfather's 100th birthday, and I can't wait to go to the country and have everybody think I'm Beyonce. I will not... Yeah, I'm not correcting a single person. Do you take pictures? Yes. Ah, he's such a good guy. Couples therapy's been so freaking great, man. I made sure to get somebody that can relate to both of us. I got a guy that is half white, half black. He's strategic, right? So he could relate to both of us. Only problem is I got ADD, so for the first two sessions, I wasn't paying attention. I was just trying to figure out which one of his parents was the black one. I'm happy to report I got to the bottom of it. Whenever one of us says something really sad, he'll just be like, Survey says black mama, that's what you know. Yeah. You can hear that in the throat. It's crazy because you got to get yourself a therapist. Like, one thing I learned in my individual therapy is that I'm not good at jobs. I'm not. You got to work that out about yourself. I quit every job I wasn't fired from. I left a temp job one day because the printer ran out of toner. I said, I can't work under these conditions. They said, Joyelle, you're supposed to change the printer toner. Well, then I quit. I'm already answering this phone. So I know I'm not good at work. My boyfriend's really good at work. He didn't skip a beat in the pandemic because he works remotely. And I lost everything because I'm a professional comedian. You know, so he's working every day. And I was smoking joints and twirling in tutus in the living room. So... contributing to society that way. Yeah. Yeah. And it occurred to me, I was like, oh, shit, he might leave me. So I accidentally resorted to 1950s gender roles. I'm coming out the kitchen like, I made you a sandwich. I ironed your boxer briefs. Do you want to choke me? I've been watching Mad Men. I don't know how to keep... a man. How do these relationships stay together? He quizzes me, too, because he know I don't be paying attention. He quizzes me about his job. Because he has a job. I don't know what he does, but he has a job. He's gainfully employed. So he'll quiz me as a reminder, asking me things about his job he knows I don't remember. He'll just be like, Joyelle, what does API stand for? I'm like, I don't know what IPA stands for, so why are you throwing these Anglo-Saxon acronyms at me? But Joyelle, my scrum master is a black woman. Yo, scrum master is a black woman? Are you a sex worker? What's happening right now? Do you work at Dungeons and Dragons? He said, no, I'm a product owner. Is the product cocaine? I don't know what you do for a living, but it pays the bills. Yeah. I can spot other people that aren't good at work. Because game recognized game. For example, people born rich, not good at work. We got to stop shaming rich people into getting jobs. They're not good at them. Just let them be rich, okay? Yeah, Trump got a job. We see what happened. Yeah, that man wanted to play golf and pee on prostitutes. We should have just left him in peace. Yeah. Yeah, no. Let the rich be rich. Kim Kardashian is trying to become a lawyer. I blame that on society. She's already fucked enough black dudes into the sunken place. I don't want her to legally send them to prison. That's all I'm trying to say. Let her take selfies and post them on Instagram. She's lowering the bar on the bar. Yeah. Rich people aren't good at work. I know this firsthand because I used to teach rich, anxiety-filled Jews on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Yeah. When I told my Jewish friend that, he said, those are just Jews, Joyelle. You didn't need all those extra words. Touche, Noah. When I taught these children, I knew that the children are not the future. At least not these ones. They were terrible people. They were too rich. The school was zany. It was like it was on a movie set, okay? It made absolutely no sense. It was all one-on-one instruction, right? They were able to make their own schedules. They would seamless their lunch. I was their private yoga instructor for middle school and high school gym. So they couldn't even answer regular questions. My first student, first day, I asked her how much exercise she gets. She looked me in my soul. And she said, well, my mother purchased 4 apartments on the top floor of our building. She made them into 1 large apartment, and I walk around that. Does that count as exercise?
Joyelle sneers, squinting her eyes, and turns her palms up in exasperation.
First of all, I don't appreciate how much bass you have in your voice, you little bitch. You're 12 years old. I'm all squared up. I was like, you trying to fight? Second, that don't really count as exercise, but instead of yoga, I should probably teach you how to box because you're going to get your ass kicked talking to people in the streets like this. What's wrong with you? Ask you a simple question, you whip your dick out and smack me in the forehead with it? Somebody ask you how rich you are? I know how rich you are. I Zillowed the apartment at the parent-teacher conference, okay? Chill out. You want her to get a job? She ain't gonna be good at nobody's job. The only thing she's maybe gonna contribute to society, I thought about it, she's gonna be a high-profile kidnapping case that somebody writes a book about. That gets made into a movie, I will play the lead detective. Hashtag goals. Yeah, she wasn't the worst one. The worst one was one of these little boys. He had a last name, first name, and a first name, last name. Yeah, so you knew he was going to be a menace from birth certificate. He found out I was a comedian one day. He came skipping up to me in the halls all excited. Joyelle. Because, of course, they called us by our first names. Joyelle. Do you want to know how to play pranks on my dad? This better be good, Rutherford. It's like, no, listen, it's good. I go in his walk-in closet, like all the way in the back. I like to get his suits out. I get him retailored to fit me. Then I put him back in his closet. He hates that when he finds it. Isn't it hilarious? Ha-ha. I was mad because that's kind of funny. Like, what in the Jewish Johnny Knoxville are you doing over there? One of these rich people pranks I'll never be able to play on anybody. I also say, you know what would be funnier? Let's rob that nigga. Let's rob him! Give me the keys to the safe. Let me know when y'all leave for the Hamptons. Let's do this, brother. It could be an inside job. You want Rutherford to get a job? He is going to fraud someone out of millions of dollars. He's a walking fire festival waiting to happen. And I want to be his Ja Rule. I've taught the richest of the rich and also the poorest of the poor. I was a substitute teacher in South Central Los Angeles. Yeah. The school was rough, you know. I would get, like, threatened by the children. And I never paid any attention to the threats. It's like 12 and 11-year-olds. Until I took another flight, and a young black dude started talking to me, and he found out I was a comedian, and he got excited. He was like, oh, you been on TV? At that point, I hadn't yet. I was like, no, I haven't. He said, I've been on TV. Go on. He said, I was on an episode of American Gangster. They profiled my father. You want to watch it? Absolutely. He hands me his iPod Touch to give you an idea of how long ago this was. I watched this episode. It is an episode of American Gangster profiling this man's father. His father was a guy named Monster Cody Scott. Yes, he was one of the junior lieutenants of the Crips. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Crips are gang members in America. They murder people. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They do. His father dropped out of middle school when he was 11 years old and murdered his first person. Yeah, they did B-roll of the middle school. It was the middle school I was teaching at in South Central Los Angeles. Yes. So I said, when that kid said he was going to kill me, he meant that shit? I should probably work at the Cheesecake Factory. Crazy. And what I realize is rich kids, poor kids, same issue. They both need hugs from their parents. Neither one of them are getting them, you know? And I got through that in therapy. I'm so freaking happy about it. I got through my mommy issues and my daddy issues. I got daddy issues. My dad was a deadbeat dad. But he was a doctor. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, having a deadbeat dad that's a doctor is like somebody giving you your dream car with no engine in it. Like, this is just an empty shell. He was an OBGYN. Specialty? Abortions. Yeah. And I still made it, so I guess you're not good at your job. Got you, bitch! How you an abortion doctor? You got kids you don't want. That's weird. His specialty was abortions, and I think that's why, to this day, I'm an abortion rights stan. I fight for women's reproductive rights. Yes.
We got to make sure what happens in Texas does not spread to the rest of the country. So make sure about that. Man, listen, I fight for women's reproductive rights because I've had an abortion. I'll scream it from the rooftops. I want to make sure no woman is ashamed of that word, okay? Yes. Yes. Do not be ashamed of having an abortion. Maybe be ashamed about how you got pregnant. I got pregnant the classy way, on the floor of an Amtrak train. In the handicap restroom, yes. Go hard or go home. I know y'all are judging me. Don't worry, I was on top. And I just propose this. You having sex on the floor of an Amtrak train in the handicap restroom, maybe you're not ready to be a mother, all right? Just yay choice. I found out something weird about my dad later in life. One of my cousins called me. She was on a dating website, and she's on Match.com, OkCupid, all that stuff. She called me one day. She was like, look, I don't know how to tell you this, but I think I found your father on this dating website. I'm like, what, girl? Which one? Match? No. SugarDaddy.com. That's a real website in case anybody needs a sponsor. Yeah. I was like, what, girl? Send me that link. She sends me the link. Sure enough, Dr. Deadbeats on SugarDaddy.com. First thing I notice about his profile, he's lying about his age. In real life, 83. SugarDaddy.com, 52. Oh, yeah. Black don't crack, but calm down. Yeah. I think the jig is up when you suggest a 4 p.m. date at Denny's. She's gonna know something is a foul. I thought about it. There's a place you don't gotta lie about being 80, isn't it? SugarDaddy.com. What gold digger wants a 50-year-old sugar daddy? That is a long-time commitment. 50-year-old sugar daddy, 30-year mortgage. 80-year-old sugar daddy, month-to-month lease. What are you doing? Just. Lie the opposite way. Go 80, 90, 106. You get all the bitches. So I figured my dad needed some advice. So I logged onto the website, made a profile for myself, and I sent my deadbeat dad a message inviting him to join actualdaddy.com. Yeah, I'm like, I'm so freaking happy. I got through my daddy issues, got through my mommy issues. I was raised by a nurse. Anybody raised by a nurse in here? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what loneliness is. Cool. they work all the time, right? A nurse will never stop working. They're the best people. They're so good at work. But the problem is my mother also grew up in the projects of Brooklyn, you know? So if I wasn't bleeding from a gunshot wound, she had no patience for me as a child. I was asthmatic in the 80s. That wasn't a cute look, you know? I'm coming up to my mother like, Mommy. She said, take a nap. I'm watching Caddyshack. It's a true story. My mother was pregnant with me while she was watching the movie Caddyshack. Her water broke, and she finished watching the movie Caddyshack. She wonders why she has a comedian with asthma as a daughter. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you lost oxygen in the womb. Whatever. My mother sent me to asthma camp. Yeah, yeah. That's a real place run by the American Lung Association that my mother found before Google. So resourceful. She sent me away, and I didn't trust it because I was a smart kid, so this was around the time in school we were learning about the Holocaust. I was like, asthma camp.
Joyelle winces, frowning skeptically as she shakes her head and backs away.
I didn't take a shower for 2 weeks. I love it. I love you guys. I know you're wondering what we did in asthma camp. There was no running or jumping or swimming. We made so much God's eye, I became a guilty Catholic. We had a sing-along once.
And the kid next to me passed out. I gave him mouth to mouth, but then I passed out. The kid that gave me mouth to mouth passed out. It was a vicious cycle. The last kid died. Nurse mama. So she's retired now, which means she works part-time. you know. She's still working. She's working in the with the older people now in the geriatric wing. And she told me a colorful story of an older white lady who suffers from dementia, which is not funny at all. The funny part to me is that she is a racist. My mother said every other day she'll just come up to her because she's in a loop. She's stuck in a loop. She has dementia. So all she remembers is that we had a black president. And she'll tell my mother every other day, Barack Obama ruined the country. And Al-Qaeda's going to get us. You know who else is going to get you before Al-Qaeda? Time, bitch. You are 90 years old. You have a big sister in Burlington, Vermont. And so I asked my mother if she messes with her. Nurse, good person, good heart. She's like, what? Mess with her? What? What are you talking about? I was like, I'm a comedian. I'm an asshole. I would mess with her every day. She's a racist that doesn't remember anything. I'm playing Barack Obama's inauguration on loop, all right? She doesn't know what YouTube is. Coming up to her in the hallway like, hey, Weezer. That's the nickname I gave her. Like, you don't remember your only son was gay and married that black man? You don't remember that? Well, must suck for you every day that I remind you of it. Yeah. And last but not least, in a weird turn of events, this woman is my biggest inspiration in life. Do you know how dedicated to racism you have to be to forget your family and your name, but remember that you hate black people? We should all have a racist level of dedication to something. You too can storm the Capitol. Gotta get through therapy. Therapy is the theme, man. I'm so happy. I'm getting through it, man. And I know, like, part of my therapy, I know things about myself. Like, I wasn't good at dating. I wasn't good at being a roommate. I'm not good at that at all. The way I found out was because I've been maced twice. Y'all judging me? Mace me once, shame on you. Mace me twice, I should probably shut the fuck up. I talk a lot of shit. Dedicated to the proposition. The first time I got maced was not my fault, all right? I grew up in New Jersey. I used to love roller skating. We'd go to the roller skating rink in the early 90s. This was before World Star Hip Hop. Fights would break out occasionally. You gonna run towards that fight. We ran to the fight one day. Cops maced the whole crowd. Not my fault. Second time, I earned that shit. I earned it. I moved in with a roommate I met off Craigslist. I don't have a paper trail. I can't be signing leases, all right? I moved in with this roommate, and I got super excited because he was a gay black dude. I was like, oh, gay black dude, Joy, yeah, we go together like Ramalama. Only problem is he was a cunty gay dude. Yeah, not the fun gay. He's a cunty gay. He ain't like me. Yeah, that's weird. And he let me know it too, right? What I realized is he wanted my money, but he didn't want me to stay there, right? So he wanted my check. I wrote the check, it cleared, I'm staying, all right? I was a stand-up comedian on the road. The check cleared. This could be American Horror Story Murder House. I'm still staying because I don't have no more money. So the first weekend, he was like, we need to talk. Okay. He started, the reason I don't like you. You know this is going to be a productive conversation. He said, the reason I don't like you is because you come into the kitchen in the morning talking about good morning, darling, like you on Broadway. I was confused because I said, don't gay dudes like Broadway? What are we talking about right now? Mike Pence went to go see Hamilton. He can't even help himself. It was a great laugh. So freaking weird. So from then on, he just kept doing stuff to make me uncomfortable. He would just come into my room whenever he felt like it without asking. He threw my checks in the garbage that came in the mail. The biggest thing he did was lock me out of the bathroom. The bathroom was in his area of the apartment, so he locked me out of the bathroom because I pee a lot, okay? I got the bladder of a Shih Tzu puppy with a UTI. Like, I pee all the time, and he hated it because I would just be coming into his living space, and so he would lock me out of the bathroom. And that's akin to torture, okay? He locked me out of the bathroom so much. I'm not proud of this. I had a bowl in my room that I would pee in. Yeah. I would just be squatting over it, berating myself like, bitch, you have a bachelor's degree. From Boston College. You should probably kill yourself after this pee. Or figure out how to get a Japanese businessman to pay you to do this shit. Hashtag OnlyFans. He found the pee bowl. Yeah, because he would just come in the room. He found the pee bowl, and he got so paranoid, he thought I was peeing on everything in the apartment. It's like a territorial terrier. He was so freaking paranoid. I'm so happy I caused this paranoia because I hated him. So one day I came home, he just stopped me at the door, absolutely livid. My dish rag smells like urine. I said, that sounds like a personal problem. What you want me to do about it? He said, you peed on my dish rag, didn't you, bitch? Peed on your dish rag? No, I didn't pee on your dish rag. I'm a grown-ass woman. You accusing me of peeing on your dish rag? I poured my pee onto your dish rag. And all of your dishes. How else am I supposed to get the pee bowl clean? You did this to us, all right? So he maced me in my face. That's how that relationship ended. Just a slow escalation to the macing. We actually maced each other. That's what happened. It's weird. It was a weird standoff. Like a, we was at the OK Corral. He maced me and then just like ran off into the distance. It was like a jazz run. And I was fully maced. I had to call the cops. I couldn't see anything. And all the cops came in Brooklyn that night, I guess because it was a slow night. And they just wanted to see the mace face, bitch. And they just kept pacing me. They were all circling me. I'm almost 6 feet tall. I couldn't see, but I could sense their energy. Every cop in Brooklyn's like 5'6" for some reason. And they were tiny and angry and tiny and... The reason was because they thought it was domestic violence, and cops do not like domestic violence. I said that wrong. Cops pretend that they do not like domestic violence. Get it together, Blue Lives Matter. So they were just pacing me angrily, shouting at me. I blind, I couldn't see nothing. They were like, why did he mace you? What happened? Were y'all sleeping together? Is that why he maced you? Is that your boyfriend? Is this domestic violence? I was like, no, he's gay. And they all stopped. And one of them said, you know what? We was wondering what type of straight dude would mace a bitch. This cop saying a real man punches a woman in the face? What the hell? I have to call the 911 on 911. I was so nervous. So I got through that. Therapy. Therapy! Yes, and I know I'm not good at relationships. I'm so happy to be off the market because I was just not good at it. It wasn't anything good happening for me with relationships. You know, I didn't like when dudes would send me pictures of their genitals. Anybody doing that in here? Y'all lying like shit. Anybody like that in here?
She locks eyes with someone.
Looking at a dick. I basically look. Looking at a dick is a gay man's game. It is not for me. I suck it and fuck it, but turn the lights out. You know what I'm saying? God was clowning making y'all's bodies. Feel like God had a joint and some Play-Doh and just kept pulling.
She squeezes the air absentmindedly, like milking a cow.
Bake it. You weren't done with that. Yeah, I didn't like it. And the last guy before my boyfriend sent me a picture of his dick, and he shaved first, so I thought that was cordial. But he was hairy everywhere else. So the dick looked like the tail of one of them baboons you see on a Six Flags safari. I'm showing this to all of my friends. That wasn't the worst part of the picture. The worst part was that he lined it up next to a bottle of beer for scale. Oh, yeah, this wasn't his first rodeo. He lined it up next to the bottle. It was bigger than the bottle. Yeah, which is cool if you into that. I'm almost 6 feet tall. Dudes think I want a big, gigantic beer bottle. I don't. I like schmediums all day long. Oh, yeah, baby. I love a schmedium. You ever go down on a schmedium? You feel like a porn star. You be like, ah. Ah. You want me to make eye contact? Let's have a conversation. And mostly I'm not into it because, like I told you, I got asthma and allergies and I can't breathe through my nose. My nose is running right now. If I want to go down on a dude, I got to take a Claritin D first. I don't want to be the first bitch to die of fellatio-related asphyxiation. That would not make my mother proud to have to tell her friends her daughter died due to dick dedication, all right? It's not an honorable death in the black community. I wasn't good at receiving compliments from men. I don't know what it is about men. They don't know how to compliment a taller woman. Another dude I dated was giving me a back massage. He gave me what he thought was a compliment. He's rubbing my shoulders. He's like, yo, you got a strong-ass back.
She frowns open-mouthed and gives an incredulous look.
Who is that a compliment from? A WNBA scout? What am I supposed to say? I've been lifting cars in my spare time, strong backs. And he doubled down on it. He was rubbing even harder. He's like, yeah, I went kickboxing earlier today and I fought five dudes. I'm not even sure if I could take you. Take me where? To an NFL scrimmage? Are we fucking or you want to see me run a 40? What's going on right now? Yeah. I feel like strong backs was the name of a Negro League team that got rejected. See a room full of white men in St. Louis in the 30s. Like, what should we call them? How about strong backs? Rutherford, put your hand down. We cannot call them that. That one's for me. Yeah. Wasn't good at it. Yeah. And mostly because I know I have height privilege. I'm a taller woman. I have height privilege, you know. Black female in America, I don't have much privilege, but my height is my privilege. And I realize that especially at night when I'm leaving from gigs, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, walking from the subway, I don't get messed with. And I thought about it, I was like, from behind, I probably look like a dude. Totally, I realize it. Like, how tall are you?
5'5".
Oh, okay, that's a good height. It is. If we hug, you nestle right here in my bosoms.
Joyelle mimes cradling the audience member's face in her cleavage.
If we were both walking home at night on opposite sides of the street, you thinking about who to mess with, you gonna pick this 5'5", obvious girl. Well, that 6 foot possible dude. You gonna pick the girl because that dude looks like it's gonna be a problem, and it will be. You gonna lose an eyeball or a regular ball, one of your balls is leaving your body. Messing with me at night. Advantage height. Disadvantage height, Uber drivers don't help me with my bags. It's absolutely ridiculous. 4 out of 5 Uber drivers never fails. Do not help me with my bags. You know, they'll pull up to the curb, see my tall ass standing there, go to the airport with a whole bunch of bags, sit there, pop the trunk, chilling. As if they looked over their shoulder like, ah, she looks like she has a strong back. I think she's got it. I used to give my number to dudes that I would, like, anyone who would ask for it. I date for material. That's what I was out in the streets doing. One of the last guys I gave my number to, he started texting me, and he was like, when do you get back? Because I was on the road. But he kept spelling back weird. A lowercase b, capital A, lowercase cc every single time. Fun fact about me, I'm a word nerd. I had a word a day calendar growing up. So if you don't spell simple words like back properly, my vagina won't get wet and I can't have sex with you. So, yeah. It's a problem. Conversely, if you can use ubiquitous in a sentence, we don't even need foreplay.
A waterfall from her groin.
So I had a Texas grown-ass man. Why you spell back like that? His response, it's a habit. Screenshot. Sent it to my favorite Jew. I was like, hey, Noah. Why you think I don't want to date this dude? Noah looks at the text. He said, first of all, he don't know the difference between your and your. Reason enough. He said, second of all, probably because he spells back like a Crip. Yeah, a couple people knew. I said, what are you talking about, Noah? He's like, Crips don't spell CK words. CK stands for Crip Killer. So all Crips spell CK words with two C's. Yeah. My Jewish friend told me that shit. Can you imagine how I feel? I gotta hand my black card to somebody named Noah Aaron Garten Schwartz. Those aren't Jewish Mad Libs. It's a real Jewish person. And to make it even more Jewish, he's a writer for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Giving me black facts. I don't appreciate it. So now I had to text the dude, though. Are you gang affiliated? His response, are you law enforcement affiliated? Because that's how we thought it was going down, via text. Like, what is this, Law and Order SMS? It'd be a terrible television show with very short episodes. See the detective in front of the judge like, Your Honor, we were hot on the trail of the killer, but he didn't text us back. Dun, dun. No, I'm not law enforcement affiliated. So then he opened up. He said, to be honest, I'm an inactive leader of a national gang. But since I got so much going for me, they let me rock. And yes, he spelled rock, R-O-C-C. For those of you that had to keep a track, he's a consistent Crip. Jeez. So I was like, all right, cool. Thank you for being honest. I can't date you. He was confused. He's like, why can't you date me? Because I used to be a gang member. You judging me like that? I was like, absolutely not. I would never judge anyone for their past. You know, I'm judging you off of my future and my present. I'm a professional stand-up comedian. I can't risk bringing you out with me in the streets and you start arguing with somebody about the sexual acts of Louis C.C. You know he'd be on his side.
She grabs her phone off a stool on the stage.
So in conclusion, I'm going to read you his response to that. This is the Crip's response to me not being able to date him because he does not spell CK words. This is one text message.
She stands still and levels a cold stare over her phone.
It's text, not English class. Touche. I'm not looking to write a book, which I already did. I wanted to call him C.K. Rowling just to drive him insane. I have great credit.
She shrugs twice, stupefied.
Great point. As if I was going to say you got an 800 credit score, but you murder people, let's jump the broom. I think I'm blessed. That's just something black people say. Not to mention I did 4 years in prison. Surprise. I guess that's where he wrote the book. but you're way too negative. He used the wrong "you're" and the wrong "too." And you will not get nowhere in life acting and treating people like this. I repeat, you will not get nowhere in life acting and treating people like this, which is a double negative, bitch. That means I'm going to get everywhere. I'm on Peacock, motherfucker.
She takes boisterous steps and points to one of the cameras.
Yes. Mind you, there's no punctuation in any of this, so it's Sahara Desert at this point. My pussy was like...
She winces down at her phone again.
This is Closer. I don't care to text an okay female I met riding the bus. But acting like she better than others. Your money nowhere near what I make. I live in a house. Not a apartment. Apartments for the real grammar nerds in the building. We correct people at parties. Get your shit together, you wannabe comedian. I never seen or heard about. I'm younger than you, and you trying too hard. You too old. Hang it up, man. And I simply responded, you gotta be the most sensitive crip in the game. Get therapy. My name is Joyelle. Thank you guys for listening to me. Thank you for coming over.
A standing ovation. She bows, then excitedly prances back and forth on her way off stage. VHS effects play over Joyelle's friends cheering backstage with a birthday cake. She accepts a drink and fails to blow out all the candles on the cake. Credits, written and performed by Joyelle Nicole Johnson. Executive producers Todd Lubin, Jay Peterson, Jimmy Fallon, Jim Juvenin, Joyelle Nicole Johnson, Lauren Mandel, Tova Silberman. Co-executive producer Leah Colton Gonzalez. Producer Marcus Russell Price. More credits roll beside footage of the backstage party. In loving memory, Grandpa Bill, Uncle Cliff and Aunt Winnie, and all the comics we lost this year. Production logos, Matador content, a boat rocker company, and Electric Hot Dog.